You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's WM Phoenix Open. And joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, happy big game Sunday.
Yeah, happy WM Phoenix Open Sunday. More like it for me, but great tournament, Rick. It was really a fun week, and it always seems to show out. We had another playoff, which seems to happen just about every year. Maybe the one time you don't really want a playoff. It's what we get. And big congratulations to Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler gets it done, and we're going to talk a lot about it, but we do know there is a little sporting event going on. So we're going to give this event the respect it deserves. We're going to keep it tight here, Greg, because we've always got next week to dive into how great Scotty Scheffler was. And it was a three-hole playoff that determined the winner of the WM Phoenix Open, a three-hole playoff with Patrick Cantlay, which, by the way, how about that for some firepower, right? A Cantlay-Scheffler playoff? Like, okay, I think I can get behind that on a Sunday.
Yeah, and look at who narrowly missed out on it, right? I mean, it wasn't just those two. You had Schauffele right there, Brooks Koepka right there, Justin Thomas made a run, Hideki Matsuyama was making a run for a little while, and then you had Sahith Theegala, who became like the darling of the event. He became the guy everybody was rooting for. So while he may not be looked at right now as firepower, he was the number one amateur in the world and is showing some serious game. I mean, we gave him a little bit of disrespect on Friday. Right? Not really, not intentionally, but he was at 12 under, and we called the real lead 10 under, and he almost won the thing. So I was so impressed with him.
Right. I think it makes it that much more impressive because every single week on the PGA Tour, we'll get more into it, but every single week on the PGA Tour, a guy who's ranked 100th, 200th, 300th is out front on a Thursday or Friday, and seemingly every single week they cough it up. And that did not happen this week. We'll talk about that, but even more impressive. Scotty Scheffler entered the week as the 15th ranked golfer in the world, Greg, but did not have that PGA Tour victory. Goes out and shoots a 62 on Saturday, backs it up with a 67 on Sunday that featured 8 birdies. And he had a putt in regulation to win this thing, right? He had about a 5-footer on 18 in regulation to win the WM Phoenix Open. Doesn't touch the cup. And I got to admit, Greg, I was like, that might not be great for his playoff chances because it's kind of a hard thing to reset from.
No, and I honestly don't think it was great for his playoff chances. Now, he hit a great first putt on 18, but the wedge in wasn't great on the first playoff hole. And then the tee shot on both the second and third, not great. He ended up holding a great putt after what was also a sweet up and down in the second playoff hole.
Yeah,
but it wasn't easy by any means. And he was fortunate that Patrick Cantlay wasn't super sharp in the playoff either. So all in all, that was a big moment. And I kind of agree with you. I thought that could be really painful, especially if he didn't go on to win. But look, he as Mark would say, all is well that ends well. He's forgotten about that thing. That putt is so long gone from his mind. He's really fortunate not to have to deal with that, because that would raise he hasn't won yet. Those conversations were still a little premature, but it was also a compliment because of how close he'd been to contention. But now those become real, when you've had, you've been that close, you've been 5 feet away from a win and you couldn't get it done. It raises questions. And fortunately now he won't have to answer those.
Yeah. He was on the short list of golfers, quote, needing a win this year. And the need comes from guys like us. But, I kind of look at this in a couple different ways, because everybody wants to say this is kind of a, you know, waterfall moment, like the dams break, the winds are going to be coming in bunches. And I think the PGA Tour is so deep, wins in bunches is hard to do for anybody. But Scottie Scheffler, who has not only contended at regular PGA Tour stops, Greg, has contended at major championships, which I think is important. He has four top tens in majors in the last 2 years, T4, T8 at the last two PGA championships, T7 at the US Open, and T8 at the Open Championship. This is a guy who is very, very comfortable seeing his name atop the leaderboard.
Yeah. And I mean, Houston's a big time event with maybe not the field that we're used to, but a difficult golf course that he played really well. I think that's another aspect. Is he the Memorial? He was third at that event, another big time event. So I think there's more to it than just, you know, the work WGC workday at the concession, big time golf course, the match play. You know, these are big time events. You mentioned many of them. So I think even beyond majors, when he gets into big time moments, he likes to step up. And he has a tendency of doing that. And I agree with you. I'm not sure this is a floodgates thing. You see floodgates maybe once a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Where a guy gets on a run. You don't see, like we thought Tony Finau.
We talk about it constantly. It doesn't happen that often.
No. And it's so hard to do. And there's only so many tournaments and there's so many great winners out there. I mean, you look at this board of guys who are proven winners, Brooks Koepka being up there, Hideki Matsuyama being up there. Xander Schauffele is a four-time winner, although he's had struggles of late, except for the Olympics, right? He wins tournaments. So you're just low. It typically doesn't come in bunches. So I would temper those expectations. If it happens, great. And it could. It doesn't happen very often.
Patrick Cantlay, obviously in the playoff with Scottie Scheffler, and had his own chance to get to 17 under par in regulation, did not make that putt on 18 either. How would you describe Patrick Cantlay's play this week? Because it was there was a moment on Sunday where there was a couple holes left, and I was like, Patrick Cantlay might win this thing. Like, he might just be in this. He was just around and got himself into a playoff.
So it's very interesting because he wasn't all over the broadcast. You know, he wasn't hitting great, memorable shots time and time again. He only made one birdie on the second nine on Sunday, right? So, like, what's the marquee shot Patrick Cantlay hit? And you can't really think of one. But he didn't make any bogeys. He was phenomenal. He made five bogeys for the week. That's pretty good golf on that golf course. He made 19 birdies, and he did make an eagle in round one. So it was steady play. And I think the thing about Patrick Cantlay is the golf course setup was really beneficial for him because he was keeping the ball in front of him. He could play smart, and he didn't have to get it overly aggressive. He could play the right shot, and the right shot, it worked. It was the right shot. You don't have to take anything on. You could rely on that putter, which for the first 3 days was the best in the field. And he didn't putt well today. And it was the first day that he lost strokes. He gained over three strokes the first 2 days, gained a little over a half a shot on Saturday, and then lost a shot and a half today. He ended the week sixth in strokes gained putting. But that's really what he relied on. He wasn't, aside from off the tee, he was outside the top 20 and everything else. Now it's positive. He gains everywhere else. He's good everywhere else. But he didn't have the great ball striking week, the great iron week that you typically see from winners out there. So he was very steady, but it just ultimately was one putt away from winning. It's just how good he is.
Well, let's talk about how good he is, because I'm running out of adjectives for guys like him and John Rahm. So here's the last handful of starts for Patrick Cantlay. He obviously finishes runner-up here, loses in a playoff to Scotty Scheffler. AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, T4. American Express, 9th. Tournament of Champions, 4th. Wins the Tour Championship, wins the BMW Championship. I mean, I don't own the vocabulary anymore for guys like Cantlay and Rahm, who are just literal staples. I use that word too much. Literal staples on top of the leaderboard or on the first page. It's uncanny how consistently good they are.
And I don't think it's going to end next week. But you think about John Rahm. He was nowhere to be found in this event.
Nowhere.
And all of a sudden, oh, if he makes eagle here, he's one back. Like he's just right. He just finds himself in the mix. And I think you're going to see a really good stretch for these guys, because now you're leaving the birdie fest kind of golf, which it wasn't that way this week, but you're leaving that for a while. You go to Riviera, you go to after Riv is Florida, right?
Correct. We'll be in Florida. Yeah.
And that's as tough as it gets. I mean, the Players Championship last year was the easiest course in Florida. Mm. So it's difficult golf courses, and that bodes really well for guys who are really well-rounded. And so I'm looking forward to see what they do. I hope they're able to, both of them, pick off a couple of wins and make this kind of a little less frustrating, because I feel like they're leaving these tournaments frustrated. But that's a good problem to have. You know, they're not backdoor top 10 in there. They're in the mix every week. And that's it can be a stressful thing. But so hopefully they're able to hold some trophies at the end of one of these weeks.
I would like to rant about playoffs on the PGA Tour for just one second. TPC Scottsdale has amazing closing holes that have intrigue, that are risk reward, that have a literal stadium built around them that holds 20,000 people. And yet we played 18, which is a great hole. It's fine. 3 times in a row, Greg. I get why they do it, but this has to stop. Like, you know, when something where, like, in another sport where, the tuck rule in football changes the rule moving forward, or, yeah, you know, something happens and it changes a rule or changes the way a league or an organization handles things. I know a 3-hole playoff where we played 18 3 times is not that moment, but like something needs to happen where we change the routing of playoff holes.
The interesting thing about this week is you're always right up against the Super Bowl. So you're going to watch, even when this event ends in a playoff, you hope it's one hole, and then you click right over and watch the kickoff of the Super Bowl. The big game. But in this case, well, I mean, what do you do? So the ideal thing, if I were going to come up with a strategy here, I would do 3-hole aggregate, 16, 17, 18.
Okay.
And kind of like they do at the Open Championship, although that may be maybe 4 holes. But they all have their different playoff formats, and you could adjust it. And this would be a perfect place for that. There's so much volatility. You're probably not going to extend that playoff. I mean, maybe you are, but it's unlikely. There's way more opportunities for birdies and bogeys and eagles in that 3-hole stretch. 18 can get boring quick with a bad tee shot, yeah, which is cool. But at the same time, it is a great hole. It's a great finishing playoff hole.
Great hole. You got to drive it well. Problem. Yeah, there's, yeah.
It's a tough tee shot. We saw that. Even if you miss, you're able to get it on the green from a lot of spots. But you feel like if you hit it in the fairway, you got to stuff it in there, and you have that opportunity. So I like the playoff hole. But those 2 holes before are just so cool and so unique. It's hard to leave them out.
I'm on a similar page as you. I'd keep it sudden death, but I would play 16, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18, 16, 17, 18 until it's over, right? I mean, it's more natural to go 16, then walk 17, not play 18, get in a cart, drive back. Play 18, get in a cart, drive back. And when you're playing different holes, like, yeah, it's probably not going to last very long when you start mixing it up. When these guys start hitting, I mean, they're standing there on 18T for now the 4th time in 35 minutes, like something like that, right? Like they just hit that shot. They've just hit all these shots. Change it up on them.
Yeah. The thing is, if you go there, there's no real situation, and it's almost too definite. Okay, he missed the fairway. I need to hit the fairway. Whereas if you're playing with a one shot lead, you may hit a different club. We saw Webb Simpson hit 5-wood off that tee. But you might do something like that. If you're one down, you may take a different line. There are different things you can do. 17 would be different if it were aggregate, where, okay, he made birdie on 16, I made par. I got to play a little more aggressive here. And hey, maybe I can play to the front right corner. The strategy may change in an aggregate format, which is why I like it. But it's up against the Super Bowl, so you can't do it. That's why I agree with you. You have to go. I mean, maybe you do 18 and then you go 16, 17, 18.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Try to get it over with on whatever hole you want. Give it one shot. And then
you want it to end on 18.
Sure.
Just, you know, it's that's where your celebration is. That's where the interviews are set up. Everything. Same time, I understand where you're coming from, and everybody else on Twitter going nuts about that too.
The man who arguably stole the tournament, Sahith Tagala, the 318th ranked player in the world before the week. You mentioned it, acclaimed amateur, had a great college career. But Greg, this was nearly wire to wire. I don't know like how to accurately describe how interesting, weird, impressive this week was. Remember, he had to finish his second round on Friday morning. He immediately made two bogeys in a row. That could have been a point where he ejected. He backed it up with a 64 in his second round. He played in the final group with Brooks and Xander on Saturday and admitted to being starstruck. And then he goes out and shoots a 70 on Sunday, which, listen, he makes a couple of birdies early. He had a couple of holes late where he just kind of like there were moments where this could have slipped through his fingers well before the final couple of holes, and he never let it happen. He was so impressive, ice in his veins for the entirety of this thing.
Well, we talked about the real lead being 10 under on Friday night. He was at 12 under. On the second hole, he makes double right away up back. And so it happened, right? Like what we talked about actually happened, but he didn't eject. And he became part of the story again with birdies at 6, 7, and 9. And it was incredible. He reminds me a lot of Scottie Scheffler, actually. Mm. They kind of have a, you know,
unique swing.
Yeah, unique swings, active with their
that's
feet.
That's a good word.
I'm not sure he's as accurate as Scottie Scheffler off the tee. He's definitely not. I mean, he sprays it off the tee, but he has fun with he accepts it. He appreciates it. He grinds and works it out. So he's a really fun story. You look at, I mean, he hit 50 greens. He hits 13, 12, 14, 11 greens on Sunday. And he's able to just kind of hang in there and stay in the mix. And he scrambles his tail off. And it's really fun for me to watch. And the break on 17 was just
brutal.
That ball didn't belong in the water.
That was tough. That was a low cutting bullet right at the middle of the green, bounces hard and bounces left into the water on 17. He can't get up and down from basically greenside there to make par. So he ends up making bogey and he finishes one shot out of the playoff. That was it didn't deserve that. Did not deserve that kick.
No, and any other kick, he probably wins the event.
Seriously, he probably does.
I mean, maybe
even if he makes par on 17, he gets into a playoff likely.
Yeah. I mean, the putt for par on 18 changes a lot. The tee shot changes a lot. 18 changes a lot if he makes but any other kick, he's making birdie there at 17. Really, any other kick aside from the water. If it just hung up there, he's probably making it was tough to watch, but I love seeing the crowd get behind him on 16. I love seeing him pump him up and ask for more. Yes. Right. That was cool. And
in the moment, trying to get your first win, the guy's playing to the crowd. It was like WWE stuff. I loved it. It was perfect.
And it was innocent. It wasn't, yes. You know, he's not taking his shirt off or anything. Nothing we'll crazy, right? He's just, he's having fun with it the way it should be. And he's so respectful in his interviews and his press conferences. He was so emotional after this, which I wouldn't have made anything of if I hadn't heard him speak before. But just hearing how appreciative he is to be out here, seeing his emotion after made it all feel that much more real. Everything feels genuine with him, which is cool to see.
You do not see professional golfers miss out on a playoff by one shot and stand there with their family teary-eyed, right? You just don't see it. It's how important it is to everybody, but to in that moment to show it. Remember, he was a sponsor's invite. Right. I mean, that's kind of what he's playing on. He'll be in the field again next week. So I think it's like 5 or 6 weeks in a row for him. There is just so much on the line for these guys that are, you know, not all named Scheffler, Cantlay, Koepka, Schauffele.
Yes. And look, this is the dream, right? It's the entire dream your whole life. And he had kind of a strange situation happen in college. He's the number one amateur in the world, and Pepperdine is this great team looking to win a national championship, and they can't play. And he goes on to professional golf, and they win a national championship the next year. It'd be easy to feel like you got kind of left out of that, but he didn't. He's wearing a Pepperdine jersey on 16, right? Support, which of course he is, but his attitude is refreshing. It's a breath of fresh air, and I think he's going to become a fan favorite for a long time.
All right, a couple other big names here, and we can just take this any way you want here, Greg. Brooks Koepka finishes T3, shoots a Sunday 69. You mentioned it. John Rahm kind of flew up the leaderboard late. He notches another top 10. JT flies up the leaderboard, finishes T8. Hideki was there as well. I mean, it lived up to the hype. Is there anybody in particular or anything noteworthy from kind of the first page and a half of the leaderboard that we should talk about?
I think Koepka is a really interesting story. Koepka ends up one shot out of the playoff, hold a nice putt on 18, but he gave this tournament away. He really gave it away. He had 2-3 putts where he's hitting it 8 and 9 feet past the hole from 45 feet. And I get that the greens are fast, and I'm not saying you're never going to 3-putt, but blowing it 8-9 feet by is not winning golf. And then, so if he 2-putts both of those, he wins. And then he has 2 wedge opportunities from inside of 145 yards that he misses the green short. Leaves it short of the green, kind of inexcusably, short and right. And he hits it over the green on 16. And which maybe that was a function of the situation. And he needs to press a little bit more. But it just felt like it was sloppy mistakes that cost Koepka, and he should have won this thing. He should have been in control from the very beginning. 2-3 putts, 2 poor wedge shots are the 4 moments that stand out to me that cost Koepka the tournament.
I don't want to say, is this like a, you know, floodgates moment, because that's crazy to say, but like, are we going to start seeing better golf from Brooks Koepka outside of major championships and the WM Phoenix Open, right? Like, because engaged Brooks is one of the best players in the world. Yes. Unengaged Brooks is like the 130th best player in the world.
And we've talked about this a lot, right? Brooks's effort equals his success. And if he's, and I like that word you use, engaged. That's a perfect word. When he's locked in, he's one of the more interesting competitors to watch, because he is one of the best players in the world, but he competes, and he competes hard. But he's not as perfect as a Rahm or a Cantlay, where you just kind of, I can't believe how good he is. You just, I admire the competitor in Brooks more so than the talent, which is a unique aspect. There are guys where you admire both. I admire both with John Rahm, but the talent outweighs the competitiveness for me. With Koepka, it's the other way around. And I just feel like he's getting it done with will. He kind of let it slip this weekend. And really, the cool thing was on Thursday and Friday that iron play was, and the putting was winning Brooks, more so the iron play than the putting. But this is Brooks's recipe for winning. And it just, it went away. I mean, he hit 15 greens on Thursday, 17 greens on Friday, and he's gaining over two shots in both of those rounds. And then he hits 9 greens on Saturday, losing strokes, and hits 11 greens on Sunday, losing 2.3 strokes approaching the green. Like, what happened? Where did this flip come from? So that was a little disappointing. Yet he finishes one shot out of the playoff. So I don't know that we know enough yet, Rick, because he plays so well here so often. He's won here twice. The other two have been average. But I'm not sure this is a sign yet that we are going to see Brooks Koepka around in events. His words have said he'll be around. I'm not sure we're there yet.
Koepka made 5 birdies in his last 8 holes, including 17 and 18. And that was not good enough to get him into a playoff because there was a couple of loose shots out there. This could have been a 3-shot victory for Koepka, right?
Yeah.
Very easily could have been.
You're not going to play perfect. Like we talked about with Kyle last week, right? You got to play perfect golf to win. It seems he didn't have to, but the mistakes that he made were so simple. The wedge shot to miss the green like that is, and he got him up and down, but it just, their opportunities lost, and you can't afford that. It adds stress everywhere else. And then, the putting, I mean, he left a couple short that were makeable. One was right on the edge short. That was a great putt, but the speed control is you go from hitting it 8-9 feet by from 45 feet on 2 occasions. And then you come up 2.5 feet short from 20 feet on a very makeable occasion. And then the speed control just wasn't there. And he didn't have to pour it in. He didn't have to do a Patrick Cantlay at the Tour Championship. He just had to 2-putt. And it's crazy when you look back on an event, how those mistakes seem so silly. You feel like you got to make stuff and get the momentum going, and you got to make birdies to win. But sometimes you got to let it come to you. And he didn't do that today. Maybe that's a sign of his form, which is unfortunately my lean right now. I don't think he's ready for a win yet, but he will be soon.
He will be soon. I tend to agree. Some of the shots that he hit over the first couple of rounds, I mean, that approach play, we've talked about it as well. You know, when he's striking the heck out of it, that's when he's at his best. And I saw some really, really good shots from him this week. I want to get to some odds and ends, but I am vamping here, Greg, because I'm about to add fuel to the fire, although I think I need maybe a little bit more time. Tom Hoagie made the turn, Greg, and I thought Tom Hoagie might win back-to-back weeks. You know, he goes however long between wins, and he might snap off and win 2 in a row. He is really coming into his own, someone that we talk about a lot on the First Cut podcast, especially on those Monday previews, but how impressive was he?
He was super impressive. And again, it's a perfect, you know, we talk about how important iron play is here. When it gets firm and fast like that, it's super important. And he put himself right in the mix, and you didn't really see him at all through the week. I mean, he's 7 under through 2 rounds, and that's 5 back. And then all of a sudden he's in the mix, and it kind of snuck up on you. So I was really, really impressed with that comeback performance for him.
All right, now let me add a little bit of fuel to the fire. That was a very professional job we did, Greg, to buy us 60 seconds or so. Let me bring in Kyle Porter, KP. Welcome, bud.
How are we doing?
Doing great.
What's
How
up?
Are you?
What a week.
What crazy week, man.
We had one guy. I posted this after the round, but we had one guy named Hoffman swishing pee in his mouth and another guy named Hoffman posting poo on Instagram. So
that's how you know it's a full week.
That frames the week really well. I mean, where do you want to go? What do you want to talk about?
So we've covered the leaderboard. I was going to turn our attention to kind of the antics around 16. However, this is potpourri for you. If you want to talk about Sahith, if you want to talk about Scotty, or like, listen, whatever, wherever you want to go, we're happy to take you there.
Yeah, Thagala was, man, he was so endearing, right? He was endearing because I think one of the problems when you come out on tour and if you're too in awe, we're like, oh, this guy's like he's a clown. Like he's never been here before. He doesn't get it. But then on the other side, if you're too cocky, we're like, who is this guy? Like who does this guy think he is, right? And he walked that line of like being kind of like wondrous over the fact, wow, I'm on the PGA Tour. I'm playing with Koepka in the final round of a tournament he won last year. But then also like self-confidence of like, yeah, and actually I belong here. Like I'm a good player. And I think he made it look easy and it's not as easy as he made it look. And I think that combination is super endearing.
He both admitted to being starstruck about his Saturday pairing. And then with 2.5 holes to go looking for his first career victory was egging the crowd on at 16. Like that's both sides of the coin.
Totally. And in a way that was again, like really, it was just fun. And I posted this on Twitter too, but it was such a contrast, like his roller coaster of emotions was such a contrast to the last 2 weeks of this, like soulless, how much Bitcoin are we going to pay Bryson to go to Saudi Arabia to play in these tournaments with no fans or whatever, you know? And like, it was like, okay, well, we can have that. But man, I want the Sahith Thagala. I knew I would screw his name up, but I want that story. Like that's what like golf is about and professional golf should be about. And I'm excited about him. It was funny, like him and Scheffler being in the final, Scheffler and Koepka in the final pairing?
I think that's right. Yeah.
How is Brooks like 6 years older than either of them? Thagala and Scheffler both look like, I think, older than Brooks looks, especially with the blonde hair. But
yeah, they might. It's a good point.
It was a fun week. I felt bad for Thagala at the end. I mean, the shot on 17, I'm sure you guys talked about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great shot, I don't think, but it was also a little bit of like, he said it was like, I think he said like a yard like to the right and it would have ended up pretty good, but he went for it, man. Like he went for it. He went out and tried to jump up and take a PGA Tour event from like four or five top 20 guys in the world. And that's big time.
You know what, Greg, let's talk. We did talk about that shot, but like he hits that fade/cut/slice, depending on how bad, like that's, he's probably thinking at 17, there's no chance I can hit it in the water here. Like there's just no chance. This is just not in my range of outcomes. And I don't think he hit a shot bad enough to go in the water. We talked about how kind of unlucky it is, but you know, walk me through standing on the tee box there with kind of his shot shape and what he's been up to all day.
That shot shape is one thing for sure. Fading it off the waters, definitely a factor, but he was also in hybrid. And he hit two hybrid there. So that club isn't going to fade as much as a driver. It's got more loft on it. I think they said 16 degrees of loft. But you're also, with that club, you're not really trying to get it much past the front of the green. So it clearly came off hot. I mean, it had a ball speed that would be a pretty good driver. I think it was 169, which is crazy for a hybrid. So it's a like 330-yard shot. He's ripping hybrid there. Now you have adrenaline and it's really fast, so it lands well short of that 330 number. But still, I thought it was a really bad kick. I don't think it was the wrong decision. And I don't think that ball belonged in the water, even though, I mean, it's a yard left of where he wanted to. I didn't see that. I saw balls there end up fine. So I guess just a little hot and a hair left, I guess, but I thought it was just a bad kick, frankly.
It looks so good coming off the face. Like as soon as I saw the flight, I was like, oh, he just won the tournament.
Yeah.
And then it takes that kick and you're like, oh, I think he just lost the tournament actually. Like it was like that 5 seconds or whatever that it was in the air was the difference in the tournament, honestly. I think probably. I mean, like the way the flight on it looked like, okay, it's going to be middle of the green, back of the green, probably a 2-putt birdie. I mean, pretty straightforward, and it just didn't go that way. But still, I think a week for him that he will remember for a long time. And I felt like he kind of won the week, even though he didn't win the tournament.
He definitely, I mean, gained. I don't know what it is. I think he moves up to like 84th in the FedEx Cup points. He's going to be playing next week. Like, yeah, he gained a lot in fans and in kind of financials. Actually, our friend Brooksy is in the midst of a Super Bowl commercial right now as we speak. Let's talk about some of the things going on at 16.
Real quick, can I say something on Scheffler? I know you guys already talked about Scheffler, but real quick on him, I thought it was ironic and kind of funny that like this guy that we for so long have been like expecting to win, kind of won when we least expected it, right? He barely makes the cut, 62 on Saturday. He was kind of out of it like after the front nine. I mean, not out of it, but he was kind of like he was kind of forgotten about after the front nine. And then all of a sudden, Scottie Scheffler's bumping his fist on a 26-foot birdie on the third playoff hole and yelling at Ted Scott. And we're like, oh, Scheffler just won. I thought it was the irony of him, like us expecting him to win. Where is it? And then it just kind of came out of nowhere. It was kind of funny.
Yeah, and then he has a putt to win and misses it from 5 feet.
Gosh,
you're like, oh, see,
it wasn't even close.
Yeah, crazy.
Didn't touch the cup. 16 on Sunday, we not only got an ace the day after Sam Ryder made it rain, thanks to Carlos Ortiz, but for what I assume is the first time in golf history, a golfer, Joel Damon, in this situation, took off his shirt and swung it around his head like this, which I imagine has never happened in the game of golf before. Harry Higgs, part of the antics. It was just KP, there is no other scene like this in the golfing world. It is unique to that par three at TPC Scottsdale. I've never seen anything like it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think there was I think there's probably some pushback from people about 16 of like, oh, this is not, you know, the Nick Saban, is this what we want golf to be? And I mean, listen, golf doesn't need to be more serious, I don't think. So like that's not it. The problem with 16 is that you're never like, you're expecting this collection of people to like walk this line where you're like, okay, we want it to be super fun, but not too fun. And then also like not too, like you're wanting them to walk this line that's never going to be walked. So I'm okay with like, if you're going to err on the side of like, okay, maybe we don't need to be throwing bottles when JT's chipping in for birdie like that, like the Sam Ryder thing for sure. Whatever you want to do, do it. But we don't need it like 10 times a day, like a round. But that's like the collateral damage of having a really fun hole like that, right? Is like you're going to get people that go too far the other way. And I'm fine with that. Like if that's like the fallout from it, whatever. Like it just is, I don't know. This tournament was so much fun. And again, maybe I'm contrasting it to the last few weeks of like, oh, let's take a ton of money and go play these dumb events in other parts of the world where it's not like this. And it was like, man, why would you give, I know it's a ton of money, but why would you give this up? It just was so much fun this week.
I tend to agree. It was a blast. I think the 16th hole is really fun and it stands out, and it puts, at least from what I've seen, I mean, it puts golf in a week where golf shouldn't even be relevant in the sports world. Yeah. And it makes it relevant in the sports world. Now, all that being said, you shouldn't be throwing beer cans onto the playing surface in any sport. It's just never, you know,
that's true.
Littering, right? It's just, it's crazy.
And yeah, it's not a golf thing. It's just a sports thing.
Right. I'm not a fan of that. And the other thing is that is going to become a tradition. And so now you've got this train, because it happened once with Sam Ryder and it was applauded and it's encouraged. And now it happens when JT chips in, as you mentioned, Kyle. It happens when Harry Higgs, you know, flashes the crowd. It happens. All of a sudden, it's just going to happen for any possible instance. And it takes 15 minutes to clean up.
The Higgs having his shirt over his head might be the cover to Normal Sport too.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably your inspiration.
Okay. Can I say this? And I've been wanting to say this all week. I feel like if you, I might write it, but if you put it on Twitter, there's not enough nuance to like explain what I'm talking about. I feel like, so like we all have criticisms of the PGA Tour, right? And I think most of them are fair. Some of them are maybe unfair because we don't understand how all of it works. And we're just guys on the internet trying to make funny jokes and like do a good job covering the sport. I don't know if funny is the right word. The most interesting part of the last two or three weeks is how much free, like unbelievable advertising the PGA Tour has gotten from people like us being like, wait a second, you guys want to go do the Saudi thing or go overseas or whatever? What about this league? What about this tour? Like all these like smart, funny people that I follow are like just riding as hard as they can for the PGA Tour because it's in contrast to like all this other stuff that could be going on that we're like, no, like this is awesome. And maybe we would normally be doing that anyway, but I feel like everybody's kind of taken up the cause of the PGA Tour and they didn't even ask for it. They've just like, they're just continuing to do what they do. Some of it great and some of it lacking and not, you know, maybe where they could improve. But I have found that to be a really interesting unintended, I guess, benefit of kind of like what's been talked about with Phil and Bryson and everybody else.
We're all evolving. Apparently we're figuring it out as we go here. I'm basically all for whatever happens at 16 and there's going to be things that are probably over the line and all that stuff as they kind of figure this out. Patrick Cantlay's putt on 16 most definitely hit a divot that was made from a beer can, like legit. Yeah. Popped his ball up in the air an inch and a half. Like that definitely happened. So
yeah, not good.
Throwing that out there, but
it probably would have come up about two revolutions short, like every putt he had on the back nine.
I think it was running out of steam anyway, but yes, did not get lost on me that was at 16. All right, gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. I got to get you out of here soon because we got things happening. So what I'll do is we got to go over our best bets. And I don't have the updated one and done stuff because producer Jacob usually adds that up for me, but we can cover that quickly as well. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we're back. Best bets. We did okay. Mark was the only loser. Denny McCarthy over Harris English and Keegan Bradley. English with Drew. Bradley finished T26 and won that one. I had Webb Simpson. No, I had Adam Scott over Webb Simpson, which I should get credit for, but I do not because Webb Simpson withdrew before the week started. Greg, Gooch did not play well. Taylor Gooch did not play well on Sunday, but he had plenty big enough of a cushion to cash you a plus 110 ticket of Gooch over Ricky Fowler and Brandon Grace.
I just had no confidence with where Grace and Fowler's game was. And I had a ton of confidence in where Taylor Gooch's game is. And we talked about him on Monday being the most mispriced player, which I, you know, you mentioned that, Rick, and I agree. And so I kind of took the recent form over course history view because there was such a stark difference between them. And that's why the lines were set where they were. So happy to get that win, but it felt like an easy one.
Every so often, Kyle comes with a best bet that's like John Rahm to finish inside the top 20, Colin Morikawa to finish inside the top 10. And everybody in the comments says, Kyle, you stink. You're boring. You're a chalk monster.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Here we go again. Kyle padding his wallet while being a chalk monster.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like, I'm going to give you Morikawa to win the Open at 40-1 every once in a while. But a lot of the, like I think people, this is not a, we're not playing like a short-term game. This is, we're playing the long game here. Like, we're trying to win, what, 54% of the time, 53% of the time?
It's the best bet, right?
And this is most likely
to happen.
This is part of the deal. You're not going to win, you know, $30,000 betting on John Rahm to finish in the top 20, but you're going to like, I don't know why I'm not even like that serious about like betting. I don't know why I'm going off on this, but like it's part of like the game is like, you don't just bet on like penny stocks, right? You got some Apple in there. You got some Amazon in there. You know what's going to happen, or you think you do. So that's what.
Yeah, because at least you didn't use the Facebook example. They lost like 25%.
Well, that was Victor Hovland was Facebook this week. As we'll get to in a minute.
Oh no, we have to, don't we? I hate this part. Okay, well, one and done update. I don't have the updated standings. Let's be real. Producer Jacob goes and finds the payouts. He puts them in the outline. But what I can tell you is that Kyle, you had Daniel Berger this week, which I thought was a fairly apt strategy to take the guy coming off kind of the missed cut, not really knowing what was going on and being different. You were indeed the only person who had him. However, he failed to make the cut.
Not good. Just a bummer too, because you're wasting like a top. You're wasting some. I mean, how many times has he not finished in the top 10 or in the top? How many missed cuts does he have in the last since the start of 2021? It can't be that many. Like three, four.
I can get you the actual answer here. He has his last missed cut before this one. Oh no, it was the Masters.
Okay.
Then it was this event last year. So one cut in a
Perfect.
Year.
Perfect.
But the other thing is, I mean, when he goes to Memphis, he is Apple, right? He's Amazon in Memphis.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen. That's the killer when you have like a lock somewhere and you lose them with a missed cut.
And my problem is that everybody's going to pick him for Memphis, and that does me no good because I'm in last place.
It's a great point. But I'm just saying there's places you know you can get more out of Berger.
Totally.
And you try to, like I've done that with Webb. I think I did that with Webb last year, maybe even this year.
Sian Ajad got some money. An amount of money that I don't know, but an amount that was paid out to a two-way tie for T8 for Justin Thomas. So good call there. See ya. Jacob and I, we got hit with the market correction, Greg. The market correction got us here. Victor Hovland, hottest golfer on the planet, misses the cut. And now Jacob and I are... We're hurting. We're going to have to, you know, continue to, you know, not panic, not sell everything at a loss. We're going to just have to buy all the way back up, try to rebuild our portfolio.
That stings. Really, I mean, that.
I thought you were going to say something like positive to make me feel good.
That's a tough one.
No, I don't have anything.
Do you generally like taking guys, Rick, that have never played in the event before?
I think it depends, right? So young guys, I don't care as much, right? Because they might have only played it once. Golfers that are improving rapidly like even like a Seamus Power outside of like the last 2 years, do you really care about his course history? Or like Max Homa has kind of, you know, taken himself to a different tier. So it was fairly uncharacteristic of me, Kyle, but I would have only done it with a young guy or someone who kind of took a big leap recently.
You picked the wrong, you took the wrong top 10 player who's never played this event before.
That is correct. I got whooped. $0. $0 for me and Jacob. And I think I'm at 5 weeks in a row where I have not made a dollar.
Oh, that's brutal.
You know, I can hang my hat on the win from last year, but it does not feel like it. I feel like I'm...
You'll definitely keep bringing it up, though.
Yeah. I have to, because it's all I have at this
point. Yeah. That's all your credibility hangs on.
The next 6 months or whatever, I've got to milk it because that's all I've got. And then even when I lose, then after this year, I've got nothing. So I'm gonna be in big trouble.
Oh, you still do. You still won last year.
I'll be like, remember 2 years ago when I won this whole thing?
Yeah.
You can just blame it on Coach taking over. Even though since Coach took over, we've seen he's like a CEO. You see, like once he becomes the CEO, you never see him again.
Right. Right. He moves out of the bullpen and he gets the corner office, and then, you know, you don't know what his hours are. Yeah. And he goes down the back, you know, the back stairwell. You don't know if he's here or not.
You've got some fall guys to put it on.
Boy.
So you're good.
Greg, been on a little bit of a heater. Rahm a couple of weeks ago, Cantlay, Hideki, T8 for Hideki. This is like 3 weeks in a row where you're not thrilled, but you probably should be pretty happy with the outcome.
Well, this is a lot like my strategy when I won 2 years ago.
Don't let anybody forget.
it has worked out to a degree, but you're right. There's just a little bit. I don't know where I am. I know I'm not winning, or I probably didn't even really move in the standings. My hope is that I inched a little closer. But it's an inch and I'm losing some big bullets, but this is a good place to play Hideki. So of the last three, I'm probably most satisfied with this one. I feel like it was pretty good. It one more birdie and it's great.
Big update here from Coach, who started the week 1.4 million behind Mark, and he picked Xander Schauffele, who finished one shot out of the playoff and in a tie for third, which would normally be worth big bucks. However, gentlemen, it's not called a two and done. It's called a one and done. And Coach has already used Xander.
I hate that for him.
Me too.
He used him at the CJ Cup for $116,000, and he will be receiving $0 for this week.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Go directly to jail.
Yeah, it's just, I'm so bummed for him.
This is, me too. I'm feeling so sorry. The funny thing is, we used to just like give the picks on the show or text them in, and I would generally check the spreadsheet and be like, oh, Kyle, you've already used that guy. Like, pick somebody else or whatever. But now that Coach makes us submit them anonymously, no one was around to tell him that he already used them.
Yeah.
When the rule changes, when the rule changes, bite the commissioner who made them.
Somebody needs to protect the players around
this
here.
This is full circle. This is like, hey, you think you want to run the league, and then it doesn't go well when you do.
We'll have to get into that Charlie Hoffman stuff next week. We'll get around to that. Mark at the top over, I think he was at over 5 million. Maybe Jacob did update these. No, I don't think he did.
No, he was in five. He was five plus.
He was at 5 million already.
Yeah.
Okay. So he went with Jordan Spieth, T60. That's going to be worth like, I don't know, 16 grand, 15 grand, something like that. So really no movement from Mark. What? When did I see a shot of Spieth this week? Did I see a shot of Spieth this week?
He holed out from a bunker for Eagle. Or something.
I saw that.
I saw a couple swings on Thursday and Friday from him, but nothing over the weekend. I thought he was going to make a move.
I don't love this course. I know he played well here last year, but I don't know why. I don't love this course for him.
WM Phoenix Open in the books. We head to Riviera next week for the Genesis Invitational.
The best.
I'll be there.
I can't wait. Oh, I can't wait. Oh. The field. Rick's in the field. Rick will be there.
Could you imagine?
Oh. It's going to be awesome. Saheath again.
Oh, God. I got fun.
Is Rory playing? I think he's
yeah.
playing. I think
it's
everybody's
it's
playing.
It's stacked. It's absolutely stacked. Anything else before we get out of here that is not Charlie Hoffman?
Oh, gosh. We don't have time. We got to go watch Ja'Marr Chase. And
yeah,
big day for my guys down in Highland Park. Matt Stafford, Scottie Scheffler. Big Highland Park day.
Huge.
So as we are live right now, it's halftime. And it's 13-10 Rams.
Perfect.
Hope you weren't DVRing it or anything.
I'm going to go.
Who's going to win?
I'm gonna say Bengals, Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
What do you think, Greg?
This is so hard. I feel like it's meant to be for the Rams. I'm going to stick with them. But this is not the way I thought Rams going in with you at the helm, Rick.
I'm pulling double duty tonight.
This is crazy. I mean, you've done the first half and the first guy podcast at the same time.
I thought that the Bengals, if they kept it close, Burrow's just, you know, kind of like Patty Ice. And it just, but I don't know. I'm just sticking with the Rams. How's that for analysis?
I think the long halftime, I think that benefits the better coach, which I probably think is Sean McVay. Extra time to coach him up, make the adjustments. I think the Rams win it.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I think my pick is more of a heart pick. I'd love to see the Bengals and yeah, I don't know. They're just they're fun. They're also, I think the hard part is like they're younger. It's almost like if I don't know, when you have like a 22-year-old that loses the Masters to like a 38-year-old. Right. Cause like the Rams,
yeah, you'll be back.
Yeah. And like with the Rams, you're like, I don't know, man. Like, and you don't have any picks and you're all getting old. And
this is it.
Yeah. You know, this year, next couple of years might be your kind of your window. So why are we breaking down this game right now? What are we doing?
Yeah. We're leaving. We're not. Okay. That's do it for this week's recap for the First Cut. We'll be back on Monday to break down the Genesis Invitational. But for now, you can follow Greg Ducharme on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find Kyle Porter at KylePorterCBS. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut. And we'll catch you next time.
The time has come for drag queens to save the world.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars is back on Paramount Plus, and for the first time ever,
I want you to use your talent for good, for a change.
8 iconic queens are competing for the charity of their choice.
This is how you do drag.
Who will slay it forward, win cash for their favorite cause, and a coveted spot in the Drag Race Hall of Fame? RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, new season now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.